So thanks everybody for letting me do my jobs over in Nolomara last night, and also in the morning, seeing the many of the people over there, and making arrangements for this afternoon, tomorrow, for our Katina ceremony. So again, a thank you. Hopefully many of you had a nice visit to Dhammasara Monastery to see the all of the hard work which we put into that monastery, you know, with your assistance, getting a very, very wonderful little community of bhikkhunis there. This actually is groundbreaking. So sometimes I mentioned a few days ago the inspiration and joy in seeing just, you know, how we can make the Dhamma more relevant, make Buddhism just really alive, and just to see the power of that, and also to just see just simple teachings of meditation and keeping precepts and just kindness, just to see how enjoyable they all are. I know that sometimes people thought the religion was really boring, the religion was something which only people when they're very old get interested in, because when you're old then you start to worry about what happens to you after you die, and that's when most people go to church or temples, just to make sure. So, but here there's something much more than just being afraid of dying and being afraid of what happens in your next lives. And so it's much better to be able to, even if you don't believe in, you know, past lives or future lives, still this present moment, just doing some things which are just so peaceful and so nice, just being here in Jhana Grove. It's a bit cold today, but it's been warm as well, and it's been quite pleasant. Hopefully, Eileen, what are you doing for breakfast in the morning? Have you got sort of all figured out how you're going to get something? Because, you know, Michelle's got... That's a breakfast place. Toast, no noodles? Coffee? Okay, because there's heaps and heaps of food there at Katina. So anyway, and also just tomorrow evening, afternoon, most of you are going back anyway. So hopefully you can get some. So what have you got? Just bread and toast. If you want to go baked beans, anyone like baked beans? There's all heaps of baked beans. Yeah, it's in the teacher's cottage, number, you know, not number one. Yeah, you can go and get some baked beans, and there's heaps of them. So just, you know, help yourself. And... what else is there? So it's all organized, because tomorrow people will be coming here just to start for the Katina offering and to set it up. Just like many places, yeah, we're sort of organized, but we don't like it when it's organized, when you have micromanaging, where you have to have at this particular time you do this, and another time you do that, another time you do something else. Just, you know, in Buddhism it just like happens. It's not organized at all. And in fact, that's what I always kept on saying. If people in our modern society don't like organized religion, they should come here. This is disorganized Buddhism. So, and it's also, it works, it happens, and people help one another. Yes, you got sort of rosters sometimes, but we don't really keep those rosters. You know, I always thought that, you know, if there's something to do, you just do it. You know, if you see something which needs to be swept, you just sweep it. You need something which needs to be put away, just put it away. It's just, you know, natural. And at first, and I thought that, oh, that, you know, I was just helping other people. Maybe I should have been in a different type of Buddhism like Mahayana, because every time I just go to a Mahayana temple, I see that actually I'm working harder than they are. So, you know, I'm the Bodhisattva, not them. But it doesn't really matter. There's no real difference there, because what you're doing, you're giving and you're serving and you're helping. And a weird thing which happened was, I don't know, maybe that's my nature. Even as a young monk, I would always volunteer and do extra work here and volunteer to do something else. And any monk I heard was going off into the forest or the jungles, saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'll do your visa for you, you know, I'll look after you. And I thought that I was sacrificing my own meditation practice. But what was weird was some of those monks, they went off and did their own practice in the forest, in the caves of Thailand. Perfect seclusion, nothing much going on there. But every now and again, especially at this time, Katina time, sometimes we'd all meet again together, see what was happening. And then we'd obviously talk about how your meditation was. What was really strange is my meditation was better than theirs. And they had so much more time to meditate. And that happened again and again and again with so many other monks. And I started to really think that just having seclusion and time and just sitting down in your own little place, sometimes that's not enough. You know, sometimes your mind, your heart becomes dry. It doesn't have all the energy of inspiration and kindness and joy, which you get when you look after others and when you serve others and you see just what happens with all the wonderful things which, you know, can be done in this world. Really kind, beautiful things. And because of that, you know, I tried the very best to encourage all the monks, you know, just to come in and do something. And say, well, no, I need to meditate. Yes, but you also need to boost your store of good karma. So tomorrow morning, actually this afternoon, you see all the monks moving chairs here and moving chairs there, and oh no, even Ajahn Brahmali and myself just doing whatever we can to get it all ready. And you can't stop us. We will not be treated like royalty. We will not be treated, oh Ajahn Brahm, don't get your hands dirty, they're holy hands. It is crazy stuff. So, it's very wonderful to be able to share in. And of course, I get so much joy out of that. And I get so much joy to see so many people coming here for a retreat and enjoying this place. And the first thing I will tell you that these are organized retreats which we have. You know, Bodhiyana Singapore does this retreat every year to try and make it the same time as the Katina, so some of you can stay on for the day tomorrow and just enjoy the big ceremonies for the Katina ceremony. And also that, you know, it's to tell you that there's other retreats in the year as well. They get very full and booked out, but I don't know why people go on those organized retreats, because we've got these wonderful spaces in between. We call them self-retreats. And on those self-retreats, as you know, people just book in when there's no other retreat on. So spaces between the retreats. And on those times, you get assigned a nice little room. You check in with Christina, you know, you've got my okay. And then you just look after yourself, like many of you did today. You know, there's plenty of breakfast food over there. There's plenty of all sorts of stuff. You can bring a whole, which is something you really like, with the exception, you must not bring durian. It stinks, I think. But everything else, you got durian. You got plenty of other stuff, you know, in the refrigerator and milks and stuff. We are very, very well supported here. And it's also the case that, oh, you know that sometimes on this retreat, you hired Michelle to do the cooking. But when you go on like the next retreat I'm doing, the November retreat, and the Easter retreats and January retreats, you know what we do there? That people bring dana. All these people, you know, who feed the monks over to Bodhinyan, they feed the nuns over at Dhammasara, and actually they take it in turns to come here to feed you. Now if you're a monk or a nun, you think, okay, well that's your duty. But it's really quite humbling and quite moving that lay people coming here to meditate, people will be coming to make food for you and just offer it to you, you know, for your lunch. And for some people, wow, that's so incredible. Why do they do that? You know, it's in the Buddhist tradition, offering food to monks or nuns, yeah, that's, you know, we do that. But for you guys and girls, they come and feed you, offer it to you. Why? Because somehow or other we've got the message across that meditation and keeping precepts is a beautiful thing. and everyone supports one another. And, oh, sometimes you see people, they can't believe it. They come here, and the lay people in Perth feed you. Wow, that's incredible. It's a joy which they get. Some years ago, you know, we used to get so much food over in Bodhidharma, and I just asked people, well, why do you come? You know, we already get enough food, you don't need much more. Why are you coming? And they said, for joy, for happiness. Not because they have to. It's not like ringing away for a takeaway. They just come because they love to serve, to give. And of course, that idea of giving and serving is such joyful thing to do. It's even me, small things. When I was passing through Singapore Airport, which I'll do again tomorrow night, when I was passing through there, there was a poor little Western girl, you know, she was on a bench trying to get some sleep and she was shielding her eyes. I just been drinking too much tea today, so it's overflowing. Yeah, no, it's just, it is hay fever because I didn't take any medicine for a few days and now it's come back again, but it will go away again. Never mind. Anyway, actually this is holy water, I should collect it and sell it. But anyhow, you do have the going through Singapore Airport and this poor lady just trying to get a couple of hours of sleep, you know, on the time between her flights. And so I had one of the iPads, those things, in my bag. And so I said, here, take this. And she couldn't believe it, just, you know, that somebody was actually giving her something. And I just gave it to her and she said, oh, thank you so much. You know, I keep remembering that. Just a tiny act of kindness so someone could get a couple of hours of sleep. And that just brings me so much joy. That is the meaning of life. To serve, to give, to see whatever you can do for other people. And then when you do that, you serve, you give, that letting go. Just enjoying just the opportunity to help somebody else. And then what happens afterwards? You sit down and you think of the kind things you've done. Just giving someone a cup of tea. When it's the arms round, you know, somebody, oh, and you know, they like something. And you let them take it first of all. So that's, you know, you're looking after other people, not just yourself. That gives you so much joy and happiness. And for me, that is just such an important ingredient to meditation. So sometimes, I think I mentioned that in the talk, it's the happiness. You're meditating, you're tired or you're sick or whatever, and then joy comes up. And sickness, whatever, tiredness doesn't matter. You've got all this boost of energy. Have a wonderful, happy time. So that's actually why we have a Katina ceremony tomorrow. It's actually bringing so much happiness and joy. All the different parts of our Buddhist society coming together, celebrating. It's not really the end of the reins, the end of the retreat. I don't think there's no such thing as end of retreat. As soon as I finish one, I go off somewhere else to do another one. And then you come back again, there's another one, there's always retreats going on, and there's always stuff to do. But what is really important though is coming to the end of the formal part of the retreat, and tonight and tomorrow morning it's just beautiful Buddhist chaos. And it works. And then after that, you know that you go back. But it's really important to actually to take that meditation and actually just move it towards being more outgoing instead of always ingoing. Because the past 9 days, you know, just developing your own peace and happiness inside. But now we usually the end of retreats by taking some of that energy and sharing it out. It's called loving kindness meditation. It's called like sharing. Giving to others. And still remember, I won't tell you who this monk is, as some of you know him. When he had a reputation of being really good monk, very, very powerful. And the reputation came around that, you know, he wasn't had any defilements left, that he'd actually become arahat, fully enlightened. Very rare you find monks like that. And so, I was at Ajahn Chah's hut, only a very junior monk, and then all the senior monks were there. I just paying respect. It could have been his birthday or something. And anyway, all the senior monks were there, and the rumor was going around that this monk, you know, was a 49th arahat. So this is how Ajahn Chah dealt with that. You know, he, this first senior monk, you know, he's in age as a monastic. And he asked him, he said, have you got any defilements left? Any of those wanting or aversion or delusion? Have you got anything left? He said, oh yes, I'm not finished yet. Then he went to the next monk. Are you finished yet? Have you still got some defilements? He said, yeah. And he went down the line until he came to this monk. He said, have you got any defilements left? He said, no. And that was electric. In front of Ajahn Chah, because no lay people around. You're not supposed to say anything in front of lay people, but in front of monks you can. And he said, yeah? Really? I was really excited. And now, to see what was going to happen next, it was really disappointing, because Ajahn Chah, okay, come upstairs. And they had a private discussion, you know, up in Ajahn Chah's room, where no one could hear. Yeah. But of course you found out afterwards what had happened. And you know, he said, well, you know, from now on your job is to develop lots of loving kindness, of metta. Because whatever peace, whatever happiness, whatever wisdom, you know, whatever, you know, you've managed, you know, to accumulate in your mind, now's the time to share it out with others. To share it. And I thought, that's such a beautiful thing. To understand that when a person does become free, that's their job now, to share it with other people. You may not have become totally free on this retreat, but you've let go so much, you've freed so much, you've learned so much, you've grown so much. So now is the time when you go back, you know, to your homes, to your families, to your work. So you share that beautiful loving kindness with them. So don't keep it for yourself. But, you know, I'm not wise, you think. You know, I've still got a long way to go. I haven't got very far at all. That's what you think. There was a few, I think last year or the year before, there was one of the meditators here who was here for the rains retreat. And they thought they were getting nowhere. And I said, I used a skillful means. I said, oh, you know, the monastery needs something, you know, from the, can you go to the shopping centre to get it for me, for the monastery. We didn't really need it, we can get somebody else to get it for us, but I wanted to send him to a shopping centre to see what it was like. And when he went there, he came back, it's crazy out there, it's terrible out there. And I said, but you never thought like that when you first came here, did you? And it was true. Now he realised just how he had actually grown over those a couple of months, I think, at the time, just being here, still, calm, quiet, meditating. It's very hard for you actually to see how much you've progressed, because, you know, you've been here together, and everyone's been sort of growing pretty much at the same rate, some a lot, some a little, but you've got nothing to compare yourself with. When you go out there, you know, to the airport or whatever, you see this. Wow, this is just crazy out there. It's just so. It means you've actually developed something. You know, you've got peaceful, you've got some wisdom. And the beauty of the happiness of living a peaceful life. Because here there hasn't been much going on. You know, you just haven't been sort of striving to get rich. You know, you haven't been improving. I didn't give you any tests or any examinations. And you know, you haven't been advancing your career, whatever you're trying to do in life. You've just been being here. No entertainment, except my jokes. But you can't really call that entertainment. It's more like torture. But you've had a peaceful, happy time. Why? Now, one thing, one great insight I hope you get, you don't need much to be happy. Just simple, peaceful things in life, just going out and having a nice bowl of hot porridge in the morning. And probably here it probably tastes better than you could ever get in the best restaurants or hawker stalls in Singapore. Something is special because you're peaceful. There's nothing really, sort of not in a rush to get it down so you can get to work or you've got some other appointment. You're just so loose and free and happy. And why? And you see that sometimes that we go chasing success, we go chasing material things, we go chasing fame or getting on in the world. And you come here, you don't need to. You find there's another path, another way. Things which are really important we're running away from, so something else we don't really know what it is. And here you don't run anywhere, you stay where you are, and you feel and appreciate how beautiful it is just to be here. And even many of these people aren't your family, but after a few days it's like your family, like the brothers and sisters, people you shared the place with. You know, that's, I said that today, going to Haranolamara Center, Dhamma Loka, for the first time, all these people there, and they're just my family. Not related, no kinetic connection there at all. But these, some of these people I've known for years and years and years, seen them grow up, looked after them, they looked after me, they're responsible for my belly. But I'm very happy that they can actually serve and help and look after me. It's just a beautiful, joyful family which we have. And that's you as well. So you're part of this place. You're part of Bodhidharma, BF, or whatever. And so we look after and care for one another. It's part of the loving kindness, the metta, which really starts to take the peace and the giving and the letting go which we develop and share it with others. And you don't need to teach anything or say anything, because it's not really what you're saying or teaching, it's just where it comes from. Just the softness, the peace, the fact that, you know, you don't feel frightened or challenged by each other. And it's the same with when you go out sometimes, that, you know, you just meet somebody and you just give them a smile, a softness, not faking it, just a bit of kindness, sharing it with them. And they feel it. Just a tiny little smile when somebody's, you know, rushing through the airport. Or, you know, somebody has, you know, a bit late for their flight. They say, oh, please, you go ahead. It's okay, come on. Things like that, little things like that. What they call these days the small acts of kindness, not random acts of kindness. But it's random acts of kindness. You know, we've been doing that for centuries. Little thing, just to smile and help somebody. That's all we need to do. Even, it's amazing what you get out of this. So even the head of Singapore Airlines in Perth Airport, you know, she was getting her bag off the carousel. And then I just helped her. I said, oh, I can help you with that. And then she said, oh, thank you so much. I've always seen you, you know, coming in our aircraft. And then also she said, oh, you know, I've got to get to the ticket office in Perth. I can give you a lift. That was such a great investment. Because from that time on, I get very, very special attention. And you know, you wouldn't believe this, this is actually Abram stuff. Sort of, you know, I was in the, you know, because I get fly so much, I've got these cards, so I can get into the lounge at Perth Airport and Singapore Airline Lounge. And I was in that lounge, and, you know, they said, oh, you know, can we, what do you like to eat for breakfast? And I said, oh, you know, I like baked beans, and they didn't have any. And that's only once. And then afterwards, they got a special can of baked beans in the kitchen of the lounge at Perth Airport, especially for me. by order of the head of Singapore Airlines in the airport. So, you know, you get there, you just get in the line, about to check in. Oh, Mr. Brown. We've, and they said, and she gets on, he said, yeah, I've just called up the lounge. They've taken the beans out. They're heating them up for you right now, ready for when I get in. That's great fun when you do stuff like that, because it's just people care. You care for them, and they care for you. Oh, there's a downside to that, though. Oh, I remember just going into that lounge once, and the, you know, the person who just has to check that, you know, you've got your, you're allowed into that lounge. They check me. Oh, actually, I'm fine. Yeah. Can, no, just no, we'll get you a cup of tea in a minute. But can I talk to you? I said, what is it? He said, well, you know, I'm divorced and I'm thinking of getting a partner again. Should I do that? So another half an hour free counselling. But I got some very delicious hot baked beans afterwards, so fair. So you give to others and you get back again. That's a loving kindness. It's just a beautiful way of living a life. This is so fun and unexpected things which happen when you're kind to other people. You're not really thinking of yourself. You just, you share with others and they share back with you. So that's with you as well. That's something which you've got the power now, meditation, being still, looking after one another, going inside. Now you get all that energy up. Now go and share it. Share it with others, wherever you are. You know, that we usually say at the end of a retreat about this time that the noble silence is now over. You can talk to one another, but I'm not going to do that now because noble silence ended a long time ago. That doesn't matter, you're friends. So, the kindness is really important. So, when we actually do leave, we always have this forgiveness ceremony, first of all. And I think, well, you all got serious now. But you know, sometimes people are forgiving us all the time, and I just get a bit fed up with this and say, oh, come on, I forgave you last time. Yeah, but you know, maybe I've done something else. And so, what I do, forgiveness ceremony, if you have any of you asking, and it's the last part of the retreat, can we ask for forgiveness for all the terrible, nasty, selfish, rotten things which you never did? So, usually, on behalf of all the people who have served here, you know, including sort of Eileen and where was it, Yutong? Where's Yutong gone? Oh, he's up out, yeah. And PJ did a lot of, yeah, and anyone else who just organized this, organized that. Just, you know, you ask forgiveness from anybody. But when we ask forgiveness, you ask forgiveness, anything by body, speech, or mind you might have done to upset me or upset or disturb anybody else, I always say, I give you forgiveness, unconditionally, no reservations, in the three time zones, for anything else you've ever done in the past, causing problems and difficulties here in China Grove, to the Sangha, to the organizers, the managers, or to anybody. I give you forgiveness in the three time zones, anything you've ever done in the past, anything you're ever doing now, and anything you will ever do in the future until the coming of Maitreya Buddha. You are pre-forgiven. You've got a blank check. Know that you'll always be forgiven whatever you do. You know, one of the people who was just doing a self-retreat here, he just wrote me a letter that recently he had his house burgled while he was away at the chiropractor. A burglar came into their house. Ah, but unfortunately the neighbour saw them, called the police, and they were all arrested, two of them. And so he had to do an Australia victim impact statement. And so he emailed a copy of that to me today. And it says, you know, formal to the police victim impact statement. It said, yeah, it was this nasty that it was just the piece of our house was disturbed, but nothing serious was stolen. So that, you know, we've already forgiven the two burglars. We wish them well. We follow the Buddhist principles, AFL, acknowledge, forgive, learn. And so we have no ill will against those burglars. And so hopefully those burglars, you know, will be forgiven. And please be lenient with any punishment or sentencing. There's a beautiful little letter there. Instead of those BASTRDs, they're done to the other day. They're low lives. They're just doing it for drugs, causing all sorts of trouble. You better do it really hard now to teach them a lesson they will never forget. But they taught them a lesson they never forgot, or they will never forget: forgiveness. Let him be. Okay, a nice little story before we do the loving kindness meditation. That was the story of the monk in the temple. It's one of the stories in the book. I love this story. The monk in the temple, who the abbot, who woke up very early in the morning because he heard a sound, a noise in the main shrine room. So he got up to him. First of all, he thought it may be one of the monks who was up meditating early, but then he thought, no, not my monks. And so he went up there, and in fact it wasn't a monk, it was a burglar. And a burglar had a big knife and was trying to open the donation box. And as soon as the burglar saw the monk, and the monk said, what are you doing? None of your business! Shut up! Or I'll knife you. Because he had a big knife. And the monk sort of reached into his pockets. What are you doing? He said, here's the keys. You know, you can open it, just toss it over to the burglar. Now that's what this is done, is donations. You know, look at you, you're so thin, and you must be very desperate. You probably need it more than I do. So you take whatever you want. There's a trick! No! Take it, help yourself to the donations. So, you know, instead of using the knife, you know, he opened the donation box, still looking at the monk and pointing the knife. He didn't trust him. And when he was filling his pockets with the cash, the monk said, when was the last time you had anything to eat? None of your business! Shut up! In the cupboards above the donation box is some food left over from today. Help yourself. Take some. And the burglar was just really, really sort of surprised. But he was hungry. So still pointing the knife at the monk, he took some food from the cupboards and filled that in his pockets as well, as much as he could put in there. And having got as much as he could take, the burglar shouted at the monk, and don't call the police, or else. And the abbot said, why should I call the police? You've done nothing wrong. I've given you the money and given you the food. Just go in peace. And the burglar ran away. And the following morning, when the committee and the treasurer found out there was a lot of money missing, that's what the abbot said. And they were just really pleased that there are people leading monasteries who are real Buddhists. They were kind, compassionate, and generous. You know, they give the money to the monks, the money can, you know, give the money to people who really need it. Kindness, generosity. Can't I practice generosity too? So anyway, the committee said, oh, well done. That's the sort of monks we like. So, what happened next? That a couple of days later, the monk was reading the newspaper, that burglar got caught robbing another house, was sentenced to 10 years in jail for robbery. And the days went past. 10 years and 2 weeks later, the abbot, a little bit older, he was woken up early one morning again. He went into the shrine room. Who do you think he saw? The old burglar. He had a knife again. And the burglar looked at the monk and said, do you remember me? And the abbot said, oh, okay, yeah, I remember you. Here's the keys. And at that point, the burglar put down his knife and said, put your keys away. Last time, I stole the wrong thing. For the last 10 years in prison, I've been thinking about you. The only person who's ever kind to me, who's ever cared about me and gave me money and food. I've been thinking about you. I've come here again to steal. but not the money or the food. I want to steal the secret of your kindness and generosity. Make me a monk. I love that story, because it's that moving, that's what we're here for. Serve and help and forgive one another. We all do stupid things from time to time, but punishing and blaming and, isn't it wonderful to give this kindness, forgiveness, help one another? So you've gained a lot here. Go out there when you go back to Singapore. We go out to wherever else you're going. Be kind, be generous, look after one another. I don't mean like money. Money's okay, but it's a kindness. Somebody calls up and they need something, and you're so busy. Just do it. This is the last story. I remember just Ajahn Sumedho when he first moved to England, to Hampstead, in the winter time. And these are forest monks, and he was just out of his environment of the forest with nice teachers, and he was just looking out the window one morning. And it was one of those English mornings, which I'm probably going to see in a couple of days' time. Grey skies and cold and drizzle. You know what drizzle means? It's not really raining, it's not raining, it's in between. They can't do anything properly. If you're going to rain, rain. If you're going to be dry, be dry. It's halfway ready, drizzle. Even the word makes you depressed. Drizzle. Yeah. And there he was looking through the window, you know, getting a bit depressed. Because you know what it's like in England. The skies are grey. All the buildings are grey. They don't paint them at all. And the ground, the pavement, the asphalt is all grey. Cars are all grey. People just wearing these grey overcoats and these grey scarves and these grey hats. Everything is so grey, even the tea they drink. Oh, grey. No wonder people get depressed. And there he was, just looking there, and he saw that huddled in just the doorway, it wasn't much of a recess, was like a homeless man who had probably just, you know, used the very cheap liquor, methylated spirits properly, just to keep warm. Why he was homeless, didn't know. But he saw this poor man huddled against the cold and the rain in a doorway. And he also saw another gentleman in a bowler hat, very nice overcoat and suit, no shiny shoes and an umbrella, on his way to the office. And as he passed the doorway, he saw the business gent stop and lean over to this homeless man. And this homeless man must have stunk. And very gently and kindly he lifted him up and took him to a little cafe to get some breakfast, something warm, to look after him. He'd be late to work. He'd have the stench of a homeless man all over his nicely pressed suit and clothes. But that wasn't important. Someone needed help. And he stopped and gave time to help someone. And that's just something I remember telling me. At that point, all the greyness of London vanished. Not because the drizzle stopped, or the clouds cleared, and the bright sun of the, you know, the star orbiting, or which around which we orbit. Nothing to do with that. It's just acts of kindness, and generosity, and gentleness of metta. That was what made the sunshine of that day. And that's why I just, please, if you have an opportunity to do an act of loving kindness, it might cost you. It may mean you're late. It may mean that, you know, your donation box is robbed. Doesn't matter. What's it there for anyway? When it comes to building monasteries, Ajahn Chah would always say, just before he stopped talking, He said, I've built many monasteries, but I haven't built many monks. It's not monasteries, it's the people in them. The monks, the nuns, the kindness, the welcoming, the gentleness. That's the most important. So if you've heard anything here, learnt anything here, it's the kindness, the gentleness, the forgiveness. That is the Dhamma. So, now we're going to formally do that, the usual way of ending a retreat. So, it's only going to be 20 minutes, so not that long. You don't have to worry about going to the toilet. Do that later on. So, just close your eyes. And, with your eyes closed, just like center yourself, just get yourself comfortable, as you would normally do when you're meditating. Oops. Oh, here we are. Very good. When you're meditating, just be here. No past, no future. Just being here. When you've got an itchy nose, just might as well be with it. If you can't beat them, join them. So I'm going to be with my little irritated nose, being kind to it. And now I'm going to, because I just mentioned it, I'm going to visualize that poor, cold, homeless man. Just what it must be like to be really cold, with no little room in the cottage where you can go. Probably really hungry. So smelly, so dirty, that most people would walk onto the other side of the street to avoid them. Imagine rejected, lonely. Visualize what that must be like. You walking down that road in your nice clothes, going somewhere important. And you stop. You stop by them. So lonely, so hurt, no one cares for them. They can't look after themselves. Why they're out there, who knows? All the stuff which people have to enjoy in this world, and sometimes that's all they can do. So without judging them, you just lean over and talk some kind words to them. Talk some kind words, even if it's going to make you late. You're so busy, but this is important. It's not someone even you know. Lean over to them and gently pick them up. You ignore the smell, which is going to linger on your clothes probably all day. You forget that. Very gently lift them up as you take them. Take them to a place which is warm. We can give them a hot cup of tea or coffee, something to eat. This little act of kindness, how does that feel? You've probably done things like that before. You probably have gone out of your way to help someone you don't need to help. You're not expected to help, but you do it anyway. It's a crazy thing, people say, but that doesn't stop you. This is just using what we call skillful means. If you haven't done that, you just fantasize about it. You build it up, what it must be like. And you also build it up what it must be like to be that cold, homeless person. Rejected, no place to stay, no place to live, no one to love you and care for you. Just alone, just surviving. Imagine what it must be like when someone you don't expect stops and cares for you, shows you some love. is how beautiful that must be. It doesn't matter how much you smell. It doesn't matter just why you're out there. You don't blame and say it's your own fault or whatever. It is our privilege to help, to serve, look after. You pick them up and take them to a place which is warm and safe. And I'm switching between being the homeless man and being the helper, trying to feel both what it must be like. And it's just something which generates this warmth. I call it like a tingle in my heart. Loving kindness is a fire, and it starts with a match on kindling or paper, just to get it started. So I use these visualizations, these thoughts, I use them for a good purpose until I can feel the loving kindness, the care. Not even feeling what it does to me, I'm just giving for the sake of it needs to be done. And then, instead of my primary objects, which just gets it started, then I start to think of somebody, a real person. They can be here, they can be somewhere else. Someone I really care for in this world. Someone really sort of close to. Visualizing them and realizing that they too, just like you, sometimes feel so lonely and rejected. Who feels so much of a loser in this world, not like other people, rejected, a failure, no one likes them. We all feel a bit of that as well, even people who are successful, so-called successful. Now you can see some of that even in your best friend. And you look at that part of them, and you say, my best friend, closest person to me in this life, I care for you. You don't have to be better, you don't have to improve. I care for you precisely as you are. At least there's one person in this world, you know, who will not be critical of you, not put you down, not point out your faults, which you probably know too well yourself. I care for you, my best friend. As you imagine your heart getting really soft, all the intellect, the thoughts of why you should, why you shouldn't, all of that just vanishes because it feels from the heart something pure and good. And so you start feeling this tingling from your heart, and behind that tingling, just the golden glow is beginning to become incandescent. It's a glow, the energy of loving kindness, of metta, passing through your body to your best friend. May you be free from worries, anxieties, fears. May you know that there's one person who loves you unconditionally. As you imagine invisible hands coming out from your side, going around them, embracing them, bringing them close to your own heart, your own chest. I care for you. May you be well and happy. And when that feeling of warmth is getting strong, then again, without opening your eyes, imagine all the people in this room. All the people who have driven you crazy by banging the doors and having showers early in the morning and stuff. All the people who have told you all these terrible jokes. The door of my heart's open to you all. I really care for you. Not criticize. Not look at your failings. The door of my heart is totally open to each one of you. And you say that to all the other beings in this room. Fellow travelers on the path for the last few weeks, a few days or whatever, I care for you. I wish you all happiness and peace and success in the path. May you all be free and joyful. May all the sicknesses and problems and busyness which sometimes wear us down, may I just help you just put that down for a few minutes, for a few days, and realize that all that which you're striving for, when you put it down, you realize you have already. The kindness, the peace, the joy, the things which you cannot get through investment or through purchase or through hard work. The thing which is there for you when you just smile at one another and care for one another and have joy for one another. The unconditional, unjudging, uncritical, loving kindness. Using the Buddha's simile, just like the sun. The sun shines on all people without choosing who to shine on and who not to shine on. That's our loving kindness, filling this room, caring for everybody in this room. Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, friends on the path, associates, really good people. You bring this beautiful loving kindness to everybody, and you receive that loving kindness from others as well. There's this beautiful, powerful metta. Heals us, warms us, and softens us. So we've got no bad feeling at all. Nothing from the past, no fear of the future. With kindness, metta, it's like we feel free and invulnerable, no fear. And then you share that loving kindness, like a golden light and glow filling this room further. You just push it out, so it's flowing over all the kangaroos and the birds and the animals, those little millipedes, over to all the monks and novices and anagarikas, lay women, still staying in jhana grove, and even more so up the other part of the road to the Karnet prison, all those people there. Doesn't matter what you've done, please know that someone is caring for you now, unconditionally, not criticizing you, but loving you. As you spread that loving kindness further afield, further up the way to the airport where you go tomorrow, to the big city of Perth, Rockingham, Mantua, wherever you are from, over to Sydney, Melbourne, wherever, filling this whole big island of Australia with loving kindness. People who are sick, people who are afraid, people who are lonely. This beautiful, powerful, loving kindness heart going to all beings without exception. Animals, birds, things which crawl in the ground, even little worms in paths of cow poo. May all people, beings, be well and happy. And then you spread it even further. Up over to Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Southeast Asia. Especially the island of Singapore, where many of you got relations, loved ones, people who care for you and you care for them. But this beautiful loving kindness, like it settles over the whole island, with all your friends, relations, loved ones, associates, you're caring for them. And you have something with which to care. All that you've grown and developed in the last few days. really caring and spreading that wonderful power of love, unconditional, from your heart over the island city where you live, over much further to the whole of this planet Earth. Powerful settling. And many people are afraid of violence, afraid of rejection, of pain. Many people scared, they don't know how they're going to last the next night. May all those beings know that people you don't even know exist are caring for you now, sending the energy of their heart to you. Would you imagine this is a golden aura settled on planet Earth, healing, giving hope, giving truth to this moment. May all beings feel the gift of kindness, forgiveness, and love. And then, you've left one person out, and that's yourself. But now, hopefully, the power is very strong. Imagine like you're standing in front of a mirror, a full-length mirror, and you look at yourself. This being you can't escape from. You go to Singapore, you go to Malaysia, you go to Sydney, you go to England. Wherever you go, you take you with you. This little being who has been so hurt, so forced to be something she's not. And in this moment, you give yourself unconditional acceptance for who you are. Not looking at your two bad bricks in the wall, but looking at all the beautiful, wonderful things which make you a human being. May I be happy and well. Why? Because I care for me. Because I love me. The door of my heart is totally open to these five components of existence which bear my name. May I be free and happy. No fear, no stress, no wanting. I am a tree in the forest, bent, crooked. I belong. As you learn to give yourself unconditional love, as this warm energy goes right throughout your own body, from the top of your head to the tips of your fingers, down to the end of your toes. May I be at peace. May I be content in my own love. And now, for the sake of an ending, imagine all that light which is spread over the whole world and even inside yourself. Imagine drawing it all in, but leaving the warmth outside. But draw the light in. As it comes right into the center of your body, into your chest, above your heart. Imagine like a big ball of golden light, energy, loving kindness energy, hovering over your heart, which you imagine like a pure white lotus flower, in the simile of the thousand petal lotus. And you start to close those very delicate, beautiful, subtle leaves, the petals. Very softly grasping, enclosing, keeping, securing the loving kindness to be used another time, another place. Please do not open your eyes. because I'm going to finish with the blessing. Before you go back under your covers, putting your head on the pillow like Ananda got enlightened. Is there anything you'd like to sum up or anything, Eileen? Anything you'd like to say? Very good. Yeah. Yeah, well, you've pre-forgiven. Why do you blame anybody? It makes no sense to me. People are people, and they're lovable as they are. So please don't improve. Okay, so have a beautiful night. Oh, PJ, you got something to say? Okay, very good. And just last thing, if you could put your chairs back afterwards and put your, what is it called, the mats away, because tomorrow morning the monks will be out here just ready to set it up, the last set up for the Katina day. Have a wonderful day. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Some ideas for this. I haven't started working. Very good.